you would turn now to Luke chapter 22. Verses 14 through 23 on page 882 in the Pew Bible. Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 23. This is the word of the Lord. And when the hour came, he reclined at table and the apostles with him. He said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. But the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. Woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to question one another which of them it could be who was going to do this. This is the word of the Lord. This is my body. In the Lord's Supper, the bread which Jesus set apart was a representation of his body. In saying, this is my body, he did not say that the bread becomes his body, or that his body is somehow physically present in the bread. Jesus was physically present with his disciples when he spoke these words. And the bread was physically distinct from him. And even now, he is physically present with the Father in heaven. And the bread of the Lord's Supper continues to be physically distinct from him. To say that the bread becomes his body, or that his body is somehow physically present in the bread, does injustice to the fullness of his humanity. For even the glorified body of man is finite. And so it is that Christ dwells bodily in heaven until he comes again. But this is not to say that Christ is not present in the Lord's Supper. Truly, he is. Last Lord's Day, we considered the Old Testament background to the Lord's Supper, which includes not only the Passover in Exodus chapter 12, but also the meal on Sinai in Exodus chapter 24, where Moses and the priests and the elders of Israel ascended the mountain. And Exodus chapter 24, verse 11, they beheld God and ate and drank. This was a heavenly meal. It was a heavenly meal in the presence of the Lord. And so it is with the Lord's Supper. It is a heavenly meal in the presence of the Lord. Our hearts are lifted up to him. And he gives himself to us. For the bread is his body, and the cup is his blood. But if the bread remains bread, and the wine remains wine, in what sense may we say that Christ is present with us? Is he present only in the mind as we think of him? Is it merely a memorial? Surely he does say, do this in remembrance of me. It is indeed a memorial. And yet it is more than a memorial. And this ought not surprise us. When we first considered the Passover, we noted that the Passover was also more than a memorial. Those who partook of the annual Passover, they were united to that first Passover when the Lord passed over his people as he executed judgment upon Egypt. Those who partook of the annual Passover were to understand themselves not only as those who were remembering the Passover night, but as those who were participating in the Passover night. They were to understand themselves as recipients of God's deliverance. They were to understand themselves as participants in the Exodus. And so it is in the Lord's Supper. It is not only a memorial. Those who partake of the Lord's Supper are to understand themselves as recipients of God's deliverance. Those who partake of the Lord's Supper are to understand themselves as participants in the new Exodus. The Lord's Supper does not only reveal to us the beginning of our salvation. It also reveals to us the end of our salvation. The end of our salvation, which is communion with God. Deliverance by God is for the purpose of communion with God. Salvation by God is for the purpose of dwelling with God. That communion with God, that dwelling with God, it was displayed for us on Mount Sinai as Moses and the priests and the elders ascended the mountain and beheld God and ate and drank in his presence. Just as that covenant meal on Sinai followed the Passover and the Exodus, so also this new covenant meal that is the Lord's Supper, it follows the Passover and the new Exodus. And so we are to understand that we too eat and drink in the presence of the Lord as we partake of the Lord's Supper. It is more than a memorial. It is more than a remembrance. And more than this, the communion that we enjoy with God in this meal is even greater than that communion which Moses and the priests and the elders enjoyed with God on Sinai. For here we not only eat and drink in his presence, but he gives himself to us for food. In the Lord's Supper, we truly feed upon him. It is not only a remembrance of him, it is also a partaking of him. This is what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? The Lord's Supper is not only a remembrance of Christ, it is also a participation in Christ. There is a sacramental union between the bread and his body, between the cup and his blood. And by his Spirit, he is present with us in the bread and in the cup. So that when we partake of the bread, when we partake of the cup by faith, we not only receive bread and wine, but we also receive him. We feed upon him, not physically, but spiritually. We are nourished by him. And so when we come to the table of the Lord to partake of the supper of the Lord, we ought to look for Christ. And we ought not look for him apart from the bread or apart from the cup. For he gives himself to us by the bread and by the cup. And just as surely as we are nourished by the bread and by the wine, so also the one who partakes in faith is nourished by Christ through the power of his Spirit. In the Lord's Supper, Christ is not only present to us in the mind, as we think of him. In the Lord's Supper, Christ is present to us by the Spirit, as he gives himself to us. It is truly and really a means of grace. For in this meal, we feed upon him, and as we feed upon him, we are united to him. As we partake of the bread, we are united to his body. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17. Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. As we partake of the one bread, we are made into one body. What then is Christ telling us when he gives his body to us? That we cannot have communion with him and not have communion with the church. We cannot partake of his body and be separated from the body. The one who seeks to partake of Christ without the church, the one who seeks communion with Christ apart from the church, tears him to pieces. You cannot partake of Christ and not of the church. You cannot have communion with Christ and not with the church. You cannot love Christ and hate the church. For you must love what he loves. In the Lord's Supper, we see that love. The love of Christ for the church. And as we enjoy union and communion with him, we also enjoy union and communion with each other. This is why the church is called the body of Christ. You are members of him and members of one another. You cannot have Christ without his body. You cannot have Christ without the church. We become a part of that body as we partake of his body. We become one with each other as we partake of that one bread. And so it is that this visible sign of our union and communion with Christ is given to the visible church. It truly is a means of grace, conforming us to his likeness, binding us together as one. In this meal, Christ gives himself to us. There is no greater meal on earth, and there is no greater meal in heaven. There is no greater gift that can be given than Christ himself. It is a gift freely given. It must be freely received. Yet how costly is it? How costly is this gift freely given? Consider again his words. This is my body, which is given for you. In the Lord's Supper, Christ is able to give himself to us because he first gave himself for us. In verse 22, he says, "The Son of Man goes as it has been determined." But where does he go? What has been determined? He has told us. Verse 15. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Where does he go? he goes to suffer. What has been determined? That he should die. He goes to give his body and pour out his blood, that he might deliver us from death. That he might save us from our sins. For without salvation from him, we cannot enjoy communion with him. Unless he gives himself for us, he cannot give himself to us. The communion which Christ establishes in the Lord's Supper is a communion established in his blood. A communion that required the shedding of his blood. And so it was that he did not remain in that room. In the company of those whom he loved. But he went out from that place, that he might lay down his life for them. Which brings us back to the Passover. For this was the Passover night. In Exodus chapter 12, as Moses instructs the people on what they are to do on the Passover night, he says in Exodus chapter 12, verse 21, go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of this house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. The people of God were to remain within their houses on the night of the Passover. They were to remain under the blood of the Passover lamb. Lest in departing their houses, they suffer the judgment of the destroyer. How marvelous then that Jesus went and left that room. That he went out of that house. And we ask, where are you going? Why do you go out? The answers, I go as it has been determined. I go to do the will of my Father. He went out to suffer the judgment of God. To endure the wrath of the destroyer. But see, his disciples went with him. For in this new Exodus, He is our house. And we are covered by His blood. He gave Himself for you. He might give Himself to you. This is my body, given for you. Take and eat. Amen. Let's pray.